At least one chapter in the strained U.S.-Iranian relationship seems to be drawing to a close. This week, authorities in Iran freed an Iranian-American scholar and returned the passport of an Iranian-American journalist. And Iran says it will release a third dual national soon. All three had been accused of threatening Iran's national security by trying to foment a velvet revolution. Here's NPR's Michelle Kellerman.
State Department officials wouldn't speculate as to why this chapter appears to be ending, but say that the dual nationals who were detained or forced to stay in Iran this year should never have been arrested in the first place. The president of the Woodrow Wilson Center, Lee Hamilton, says that in the case of his colleague, Hala Esfandiari, it may have helped that he wrote directly to Iran's supreme leader.
I understand that it's quite unusual for the supreme leader to respond to an American. This is the only case I personally know that he has done so. There may be others, but it's certainly not very common.
Hamilton says the letters were personal and did not discuss the major issues between the U.S. and Iran. He's leery of reading too much into all of this.
Well, the easiest thing in the world to get is speculation as to why Iran does whatever it does. I just think it's an indoor sport in this country. We just do not know very much about their decision-making process.
But Iran watchers have a few theories. Trita Parsi, author of the book Treacherous Alliance, Secret Dealings of Israel, Iran, and the U.S., believes the more hardline elements in the Iranian government got what they wanted, limiting contacts between Iranians and the West.
They scared a lot of people, and they managed to shut down a lot of exchanges. On the other hand, the Supreme Leader may very well have thought that this is now generating a tremendous amount of negative media attention for Iran, and it's not really improving Iran's diplomatic standing. Enough is enough.
Another expert on Iran, Hadi Gayami, who's on leave from Human Rights Watch, believes that Iran's Supreme Leader intervened to try to lower the tensions with the U.S., tensions that have been mounting over Iran's nuclear program and its influence in Iraq.
They really don't want the discussion to expand to include Iran's human rights record right now. And these high-profile cases were definitely shining a spotlight on the human rights situation in Iran.
That's a topic that threatened to overshadow the Iranian president's visit to the UN later this month. Karim Sajedpour of the Carnegie Endowment of International Peace says there could be a more simple explanation for the decision to release Esfandiari and return the passport of Parnaz Azimov, who's with the U.S.-funded Radio Farda. Sajedpour says Iranians like to keep up the facade that they abide by their laws, including one that says they must try or release prisoners within 4 months.
I don't think suddenly the Iranian government has become more pragmatic, or President Ahmadinejad and his fundamentalist colleagues have become more magnanimous. I think that this was just something that they planned from the beginning, maybe to hold on to them for 3 to 4 months.
He suspects the Iranians were hoping to use the Iranian Americans as leverage to win the release of 5 Iranians being held by the U.S. in Iraq. Sajedpour points out that the crisis is not over yet. 2 other Iranian Americans are still behind bars, urban planning specialist Kian Tajbakhsh and Ali Shakiri.
The case of Ali Shakiri is still very unclear. They haven't commented what the precise charges are against them and how long they plan on continuing to hold him in prison.
Iran denies holding yet another American, ex-FBI agent Robert Levinson, who disappeared while on a business trip on the island of Kish in March. The U.S. has tried to get information about him through Swiss intermediaries. His wife hopes to go to Iran to investigate herself. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.